We're thanking God this afternoon for being back in the house of God and be able to come and worship in spirit and in truth. God is good. Don't start yawning on me already. We just got in the room. I seen somebody yawning. Y'all shouldn't eat so much. Should take your nap before you come back. Good to be back all year long this afternoon. But hopefully if you came back, you came to receive some word from the Lord. Is that good? So if you're here today, you're visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to believe Jesus' blood for you. He shed his blood for you. That blood will wash away your sins. It will, if you believe it. Of course, if you don't believe it, you can die. And if it ain't nothing to it, then we didn't waste your time. You didn't believe it anyway. But if you believed it, you did something about it. And if you die and ain't nothing to it, we didn't hurt you. But if you die today and you didn't do nothing about it, you hurt yourself. You hurt yourself. You committed spiritual suicide. That's what happens when you don't obey the truth. The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. One thing I do. We had a great study with the ministerial class, and for those who have not been attending it, you should. There's some really good stuff we're going to be doing in there. But I thought about, this is a problem for most Christians today. And the problem rests in their past. And I believe it is the sin that's going to easily beset. And folk are going to miss heaven because of this one thing. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself
to have apprehended, but this one thing I do.
He said, this one thing I do.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
The things that are behind are in the past. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark
for the prize of the high calling of God.
When we look at Paul had every reason to look down on himself from his past life. But Paul didn't look back. He went forward without letting the past interfere with his future. And I'm suggesting today that we can learn from our past. We learn from the past what not to do in our future. But we don't live in our past. We cannot change anything in our past. So you got a human being's life starts at, don't do that to me tonight. For a pleasure. Help. Now, this is going to be important for me to teach this lesson because we visual people. But until we get the technicalities or the technical problems corrected here, let's just discuss rationale. And that is, folk cannot forgive because of their past. They can't move forward because of their past. Marriages are destroyed because of this issue. Folk gonna miss heaven because of this issue. And the problem is you're not living in the present. You're living in your past. And so God, and Paul is saying, the one thing I do. So far, what I'm trying to get you to see now is that it would not surprise me that many people lose their soul because they can't get this concept down. We must not think that our past cannot negatively affect us. It can. When we negatively reflect upon mistakes of our past, we don't see a good future. When we fail to forgive ourselves, then we're not going to forgive others. Forgiveness is dealing positively with the negative past. In Matthew 18, Peter asked a question to Jesus. And he said in verse 21, how often shall I forgive my brother? And he said, verse 21.
Till seven times.
Till seven times. Read.
Jesus said unto him.
Jesus asked him. Jesus said unto him.
I say not unto thee.
I'm telling you.
Until seven times.
Not seven times.
But until 70 times.
70 you got to forgive them 70 times.
Seven.
Times seven. Which means that's a capacity beyond once. If y'all get what I'm saying. So he's not saying when I get the four, what is that number? 490. 490 to stop. That's not what he's saying. Say you said seven ain't enough. If it requires 490, that's how many times you do it. So it's about capacity. So in this, and so he asked him that question, and then he went on to teach a parable. And he said,
therefore is the kingdom of heaven,
the kingdom of heaven,
likened unto a certain king,
is like a certain king,
which would take account of his servants.
Yeah.
And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him.
Yeah.
Which owed him 10,000 talents.
Right.
But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Yeah, now he said, now, I owe more than I can pay. So he said, well, what do you do? Go sell everything. Your wife, your children, and all that he had, be payment made. And then the servant, he said, now, you go get all, sell all that, and then pay me. Then his servant, therefore,
fell down.
Now he realized he couldn't do it. He didn't want to do all that to get this, what the king had. He fell down, he worshiped, saying, Lord,
have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
And I'm going to pay you all of it. Then the Lord
of that servant was moved with compassion,
was moved in compassion,
and loosed him,
and forgave him the debt. In other words, He forgave him without him paying. Then,
but the same servant went out,
who that Lord did everything he asked him to do, went out, and listen to the Bible.
One of his fellow servants.
And so there was, let's just look at two souls. Soul number one went to the Lord. And the Lord said, here's what you need to do. But Lord, I can't do that. Okay, you don't owe me nothing. Then that same soul is now living his life, and now that's in his past. Oh, y'all with me? Here's where he was in the now time. I can't pay, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. You don't owe me nothing. That's what the Lord told him. He keep living his life. Now what the Lord told him is in his path. Now he faced another soul. That's in his past. This one thing I do. Notice what he says.
But the same servant,
that same servant,
and found one of his fellow servants,
went on and found another fellow servant,
which owed him.
He owed him. This dude, now he in the same position the Lord was in. Read it.
And he laid hands on him.
And he laid hands on him.
And took him by the throat.
Man, give me my money.
Saying,
you man, give me what you owe me, man.
Pay me that thou owest.
Give me everything all you owe me. Read.
And his fellow servant and his fell fellow, down.
So the other soul did what?
Fell down at his feet.
He did the same thing he did over there in his past. Got down on his feet. Down on his, Lord, then what did he say?
And besought him, saying, have patience with me.
He said, have patience with me.
And I will pay thee all.
I'm going to pay you. Oh, he said, just give me a little time. I'll pay. That's what you said to me. Let you make it, huh? That's what they said in the street. In the Bible, he said, he talking about, brother, check this. This is what's up, bro. Hey, let me make it on this, brother. Boy, I tell you what, these youngsters, man. I tell you, let me make it. Ain't that good? That's so cool. Yeah, but we get the point, don't we? So, notice what he said. This is what he said.
And he would not.
And now I said to him, no. Read.
But went and cast him into prison.
Now, matter of fact, I'm going to lock him up until he pay me. Put him in a prison cell. Now, this coming back to get you. Because some of us locking folk up. Amen, somebody. Read.
So when his fellow servants saw saw what was done.
Yeah.
They were very sorry.
So other people watching, they were sorry. Read.
And came and told unto their lord.
So they tell, they come back, hey, look here. That dude you just did all that for, look what he did to that other brother over there. Read.
Then his lord, after they had called him.
The lord called him back.
Said unto him.
Now he say to me.
O thou wicked servant.
You know, he's saying to me, you wicked.
I forgave thee all that debt.
You forgave me. You telling me this. I forgave you everything you asked me to give you. Read.
Because thou desirest me.
Because you just simply asked. Read.
Shouldest not thou also?
Shouldn't you have treated that brother?
Have compassion on thy fellow servant.
The same way.
Even as I had pity on thee.
Just like I did you. Read.
And his Lord was wroth.
The Lord was upset. The Lord now is upset with me.
And delivered him to the tormentors.
And he delivered me
to the tormentors.
To the tormentors.
Till he should pay all that was due.
You didn't learn. You need to learn a lesson. You need to learn a lesson. What he's saying, look here. Some of us cannot forgive another soul because we forgot that God gave us forgiveness for everything in our past we done wrong.
Amen.
And because we can't, one thing I do, this at one point is that my past, I can't undo it. My past, I can't forgive it. My past, I can't go back and do it, get it right. My past is all forgiven because of the Lord.
Amen.
And because my past is forgiven, my wife gonna be forgiven when she do something wrong. My brother gonna be forgiven when he do something wrong. My sister gonna be forgiven when she do something wrong. My neighbor gonna be forgiven. Because here's one thing to do. I can't do nothing about my past. One thing I cannot do on my own. Is change my past.
Amen.
And so once I, in the now time, I needed forgiveness. Y'all follow me?
Amen.
And now, I'm in the now time. I'm in the now time. I wish I could draw it on the board. I'd be present. In other words, where it will look at that, be a line like this. Here you are now. That's your past. Here you are now in your time, and you can't nothing do nothing with the future. The future don't belong to you. Only thing belong to you is right now. And some of us live so much in our past That when something come up in our relationship with our wives and our children and our family and the brothers in the church, is that we forget that there was a past that was forgiven by God, and we forget and we start living in the future trying to change something that we couldn't change. Why? Because we can't do nothing about our past without God.
That's it.
And what God is saying, that look here. He said, you wicked servant. And then he went on to say,
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you.
Now, if you understand the Father who he was talking about as the God, the Lord, just like you did him, so likewise my Father
do also unto you.
Will do you the same way. And what I'm suggesting is some of us are going to get done that way when we meet God. Because we remember what everybody did to us. One thing Paul did, forgetting those things that were. So, you know, Robert, you know, yesterday my wife did this. Well, why did you even go to sleep without getting that right? And why is it the next day you bringing up what happened yesterday? And now, see, people don't want this sermon because that means you got to go get some stuff right. I'm just saying. Some of y'all are going to miss it. Some of you are going to miss heaven because you live in your past. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for in an acceptable time I've heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. God said, I helped you. I secured you. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 2.
And in the day of salvation have I
secured you. Go back to verse 2.
For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted.
Yeah.
And in the day of salvation have I secured thee.
When you needed to be saved, you forgot. See, some of us done somebody else. We put them in prison. You're going to put him in prison because of what he did back yonder. And then beat him up with it. These are folk who can't forgive. That's what I'm talking about. And so that now your wife, your friend, your brother in Christ, your sister, you beat them up with what they done to you. You put them in prison. Then you come here and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. No. God is saying no. Because that son that died to save you, that day you needed to be saved, that same son died to save him the day he needed to be saved by you. And God is saying, no. Who are you to not forgive another soul when my son died to save you? And who are you to come ask me to forgive you when you can't forgive the one that my son died for just like he did you? And God is saying, no.
Amen.
No. No, you can't.
Amen.
Is it what, Red Brooks? The past is going to cause many people to be lost. Their homes destroyed. Over husbands and wives. Little stuff that we can't forgive for. That's in our past. We bringing it into our present and thinking about how it's going to affect our future. Our decisions occur in the present. Our actions occur in the present. And we live in the present. We don't live in our past, neither do we live in our future. Some of us are counting the clock. So, well, when you look at the whole discussion I'm having is that when you look at life, this is the beginning of life, I'm walking through life, and every time I take a step forward, that's my past now. There's nothing I can do about that. If I step wrong back here, I can't wind up and step right. When you walk in the straight and narrow, you got off the straight, and then you got back on the in the narrow. I'm talking about when you were living right, then you sin, you ask God to forgive you, back in the sin, and you back, that's still, and then you step forward, that's down your path, you can't forget that God forgave everything in your past. So what do we do about this? I think the sin that's so easily beset of one of them would be this here. I just know so many people who are angry, can't forgive, don't speak, don't talk to them, don't have nothing to do with these folks. Now you say, Brother Brooks, if they wrong me, do I have to love them? And then here we get into a discussion. So, well, why do you love them? Well, I have to. Just got to do it. Why? God said it. That's a command. So you telling me when I get over here, I got to love him because it's a command. But I ain't forgot you owe me. Remember what you still owe me, but I got to love you. God said, I got to love you, son. I want to go to heaven. I got to love you. Command demands, correct, y'all? I asked a question. I didn't get no answer. Commands demand. Yes or no? It does? Command demands? So command is demanding me to say, I love you. I love you. I love you, but I ain't going to forgive you. I mean, hold on. Let me see. I love you, but I ain't going to forget what you done. Y'all hear what I said? Say, I love you, but I ain't going to. I forgive you, but I ain't going to ever. So what's forgetting? Why I say I forgive you, but I won't forgive? God command demand. That's law. So command demands me to go home to my wife every night. True? Yes or no? Then command demands you to be here every Sunday and be in a ministry and do everything you're supposed to do. Command demands, correct? It do. Sarah never quoted, forsake not coming home to me. She never quoted a law to get me to my house, to take care of her, to take care of my children. There are no laws involved. The only thing fixed this problem, God loved me. I remember what God did for me. God loved me when I couldn't love myself. God loved me when I couldn't forget my past. God loved me when I couldn't forgive my past. And God is saying, if I loved you when you was in your situation, when you get with him, don't forget, I love him too. So you love him and love demands, not command. Love demands. Put your hands on your hip when you say something. Drop the mic. Huh? When they say drop the mic, that's that you don't see it all. Like you say, so it's all, yeah, command. I do it because it's command. That's how I hear people. You hear from my children say, well, you know, Lord said, I got to love them. I got to love my enemy. But brother, we show his heart. No. It ain't. The Bible said 1 John 5:3. Get that for me. 1 John 5:3. Matter of fact, let's go over there, 1 John, work over there just a few minutes while I'm working on this. I'm going to close. I know it's afternoon service, but it's pretty good, though, tonight, though. Afternoon, it's real good stuff in the afternoon. I ain't sleep either. I'm just having fun. Isn't it good when you're having fun? I'm so glad I'm the one standing up and y'all sitting. So that's on me, too. 1 John 5.
For this is the love of God, that mm-hmm. we keep his commandments.
And his what?
And his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And his commandments are not grievous.
But you know, it's hard, sure it's hard to love somebody who done you wrong. That's what they say, you know? Okay. It's hard, sure it's hard. But he says commandments are not what?
Grievous.
What that means, they're not, huh? They're not hard. Let's go back in John, 1 John chapter 4. Let's go back up to verse 20 for the sake of time. He said, if a man say,
I love God
and hate his brother, he is a liar.
For he that loveth not his brother
whom he hath seen,
how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
And this commandment we have from him,
that he who loveth God love his brother also.
You see what the problem was with that guy over there when he got in that situation? What was his problem? He didn't love God. Don't miss the point. I said his problem wasn't he didn't love him. The problem was he didn't love God. See, when you don't love God, you ain't going to love your brother. But when you love God and you appreciate the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the spirit blessings of God, prayer power, going to heaven, walking the streets of gold, God letting you make it home, God watched you to work, God got you back home, God watched over your children, he watched over you at nighttime. When you love God, you can't help but love some other sinner.
Amen.
There you go.
Well, that's good preaching right there. I like my own preaching today. That's really good. You know why it's so good? Because it's so true.
Amen.
Like that old lady in Arkansas used to tell me, she was dipping snuff. She was dipping some snuff. Yeah, that old Sweet Garrett. Y'all know about the Sweet Garrett? How many of y'all know about Sweet Garrett snuff? It's that Sweet Garrett coming in the red can. Oh, who know about Sweet Garrett? Raise your hand. How about that Bitter Garrett? That old yellow can and the white. Yeah, you pull your lip and you put it in there. That lip be punched out like that. And she was an old soldier in the Lord. And she said, Brother Brooks, and she knew more Bible than I never know. She knew some Bible. That woman knew some Bible, boy. I just go talk to her and learn how much she knew. And she said, Brother Brooks, the word of God is sweet as honey. See, it's good. When the word of God is good, it's sweet. It's good to you.
Amen.
When it's true.
Amen.
Where to God? Big old black splatter. I like. Now some of you, some folk don't know what snuff is. They don't know. They don't have a clue. Let Brother Brooks trying to help y'all. Look here. All of us understand this. Until we can understand the capacity of God's forgiveness for us, you won't understand 70 times 7. All them years you sinned, all them years you were sinning repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again. Then you hear the gospel, and God, you get baptized, God forgave every one of them.
Amen.
And when you can grasp that, that God forgave everything I done, I have no problem forgiving somebody else. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I want to just say this. My whole point, the illustration would have been much better, but y'all got the point though, didn't you?
Amen.
So let me just close with it like this. Our decisions occur in the present time. This is why you don't go to sleep angry. You get it right then. You get it right then. Why? Why? There's no future. Well, you know, Lord's will, I ask her to forgive me tomorrow. If the Lord's will is that, that's vanity, man. That's the Lord's will is that you forgive her right now, just like he did you. The Lord's will is that you forgive anyone at any time, at the time they ask. That's what Peter asked. How often, if he asked, how often? Jesus said 70 times something. So, we live in the present, not the future or the past, and we look ahead. So, if I'm looking ahead, then I'm running in a race. 2 Corinthians 9:24, last word verse I'm giving. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Run. Do you not know? 9:24-27. Do you not know?
Know you not run in a race.
Those who run in a race run all.
But one receiveth the prize.
Everybody running.
So run that ye may obtain.
Everybody running. This is your now time. Read.
And every man that every striveth man. For the mastery is temperate in all things.
And you got to control yourself throughout this whole race. Read.
Now they do it to obtain a corruptible
crown. The reason why we can forgive and keep looking forward is because we're trying to get the crown. Read.
But we an incorruptible.
Uh-huh, read.
I therefore so run.
Paul said, I run.
Not as uncertainly.
Not as certainly.
So fight I, not as one that
I'm not in here just faking like I'm trying to get to heaven. But I disarm my body, bring it into subjection.
Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a captive.
So you're running forward. You're not running backwards. The one thing Paul was able to do is not let his past stop him from moving forward. And so what I'm saying is that we run because we're trying to obtain. We run with certainty that I'm going to get there. We run with discipline. And there's no one here today who's finished. None of us have finished. But no one is going to finish working the word about all the stuff in the past, living in the past, not forgiving the past, don't forgive myself of my past. I can't go nowhere looking back here. I'll never get out that door if I keep looking back here. That's what some Christians doing. You just keep looking back here. You're looking at back here. All the things you did wrong, everything somebody wronged you, you ain't going nowhere until you start looking at the future. And so are you looking at the crown you're trying to get? And then you don't have no problem forgiving somebody in their past. You got a future ahead of you. You're running with certainty. You're running with discipline. You're running to finish this course. We're trying to get to heaven. Because we're trying to get to heaven. Ain't nobody can do me so wrong that I can't forgive them. Then some of y'all got PTSD. I'll close with this one. I better come down here because this is called a good, meaty sermon. It's really not meaty, it's simple. But it makes you think. See, some of y'all are so post-traumatic and you don't want to get help because you got pride. Three things will get you: eyes, flesh, and pride. Some of you all got post-trauma from your childhood, from the way you were raised, something you experienced, and you're bringing that into your marriages, you're bringing it into the church building with you, and you need to deal with your pain. And I'll talk to married couples. You're going to end up in divorce court. And when there's post-trauma, post-traumatic experiences that I don't fix because I'm living in the past, then I'm going to bring that into my present. And I need to get fixed. And I'm going to just say something else to us. Some of us ain't qualified to fix ourselves. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I don't understand how to fix myself. Let me say something here. I hope and pray that I set an example to y'all by telling publicly. And some may criticize. That's okay. I admit, when I stepped into this dark room of grief, I couldn't help myself. I'm telling you, I I've been in the Bible 34 years studying the Word of God. It wasn't my spiritual life. It was just my mind. I couldn't unscramble this thing called grief. I didn't know what it was like. I had never done it. I had never buried my wife. I had never done this before. But one thing I wasn't crazy about, boy, if I came, and I thought I was, you know, sometimes there was time when I think I was pretty sharp. I thought, then doing this thing, I thought, Lord, I don't have a clue. Why? I didn't have no experience. Amen. And I didn't have no experience. I didn't even have no past experience. Because that was a first time event, first time. But my emphasis today is some of you need help. That's your problem. Because all you got in your past is a wound that was never healed. And as soon as your husband, your wife touch it and pull the scab off, you go right back to your past life. And that's who you are then. That's who you are then. Now you're back to the center. Now you're back to slapping. You cussing. You talking. You acting. Because you live in your past.
Feel that. Amen.
And when you're in your past, you can't live in your future. Because you are in your past, you can't understand your present. Man, our present, if you're alive, you're breathing, you're drinking God's water in your present, and then you're... You can't see the, I'm saying, you can't see the good of where you are because all you see is where you were. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Amen.
Now you say, Robert, why are you preaching there? Because they came from the ministry class. Then we got to talking about this in ministry class. I said, you know what? This is a problem for a whole bunch of folks.
Amen.
A whole bunch of people. It was really good class. There were about three of us there. Should have been about 50. If we had a lot of brothers who really wanted to learn how to study the Bible, that class would have been packed, wouldn't it? Well, maybe they're in their past. I don't know. Maybe they think they got it going on like that. Y'all want me to stop? I will. That's it. It's finished. All of my summary of this lesson is, y'all, and it hit me in the class when I was there, man, this is a real problem for a whole lot of people. It really is, because our past can haunt us. It can destroy our relationships. It can destroy our homes. It can destroy our families. It can destroy our marriages. It can destroy church relationships. And most importantly, you'll be lost. God, Jesus was emphatic about this. If you can't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father will not. I'm going to ask, what marriage in here is so tore up that you two can't sit down and talk about what your problem is and get help? What relationship so bad that you can't stop and work on that thing? Huh? What's so bad? Anybody gonna answer? Is there anything that you can name? You can raise your hands and name it. Name it. You can't, can you? You want to know why? There's no big ones and little ones. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. And right is right. And if somebody else did you wrong, you just do what's
right.
And let them do what's right. And pray that they do what's right, because you're going to always do what's right. So if I'm in a relationship and I'm always doing what's right, then I know one person's going to be right. That's going to work. Every time it's going to work that way. I can guarantee you this, one thing about it, one of us going to be right. I'm going to make sure it's always me. I'm always going to be right when it comes to what God wants me to do.
Amen.
I'm not talking about right because I'm arrogant. I'm talking about right in the eyesight of who? As long as I'm right in the eyesight of God, I can help you because I'm a better example than you are. As long as I'm right in the eyesight of God, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better brother in the church because I'm going to be the best brother in the church. I ain't going to be arguing with another brother in the church and talking down on another brother in the church because I'm always do right in the eyesight of God. If I'm a sister who's doing right in the eyesight of God, I ain't going to have no sister problems at the church because I'm going to always do what's right. If we're going to have a sister problem, it ain't going to be me, sister. It's going to be the other sister. That's all of us can say that.
Amen.
If it's going to be a problem I'm married, it ain't going to be an atomic problem. It's going to be a Sarah problem. If it's going to be a problem, I'm going to make sure it's not me, because I'm going to do what's right in the eyesight of. And when I don't do what's right in the eyesight of God, I'm going to go back to God and ask him to forgive me for not doing right in his eyesight. That's how I'm going to get right with him when I didn't wasn't right, when I did what I was doing, when I thought I did right, I didn't. All right, dear. When you do that, you got to go up there and say, Lord, you know, I know I shouldn't have said that. You know, sometimes you just stuff just come out your mouth. Then you think about, I shouldn't have said that to my baby. So then what you do then? What God say? Well, now I knew you shouldn't have said it, and you knew you shouldn't have said it, so what you going to do to the Lord? So, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have. And then when I asked him to forgive me, he said, don't come to me yet. I was, what? Don't ask me? What are you talking to me about? What I tell you? Oh, okay. Hey, I'm sorry. I said, will you forgive me? You will? Thank you. Lord, she said, yeah. He said, all right, then we're good. The Lord said, put it in perspective. That's all he's saying. Don't come to me yet. Go back and get it right. Amen. And when you get it right down there, then you're going to be all right up here. Amen. But if you can't get it right down there, you ain't going to ever be all right up here. That's a good lesson, isn't it? Here's what I want y'all to do tonight. I want y'all to think about this. What is it in your past that caused you to lose your soul tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, what's going to cause you to lose your soul in your past? Because your past has not been forgiven. The way you get forgiveness is you go, you obey God by believing that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died, and suffered on the cross for you. You got to believe that with all of your heart. And you got to understand something, that you got a whole lot of sin that you need forgiven. You got a whole lot that you need to be forgiven for. But God gave his best for you so you can have forgiveness. And what God is saying, I give my son, and my son gave his life, and my son suffered for you, so I can, so your past would be forgiven, and you have a future with me. And he tells us to preach that to every creature. Let them know their past need to be forgiven. And when you believe it with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you will repent and say, I cannot go home like I came today. I need my past forgiven. If you do that, you'll be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. You'll be willing to be baptized. And in that water where forgiveness of sin occurred, God wipes away everything in your path. And you come up brand new, born again, and regenerated, heir of God, and joint heir of Jesus Christ. And then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ and the body of believers. All understand, we all got a forward look. We're trying to go to the crown. We don't look back. And we can forgive anybody in our future that's coming. Anything coming, we can forgive it because God done forgave us so much. Amen, somebody. And if you're here tonight, you need prayer, you want to be baptized, you come to the front, you need prayer, you come to the front, you need forgiveness, you want to ask for forgiveness, ask God to forgive you, come to the front. And if you just need us to pray with you, to let go of your past, to whatever you need, it don't have to be that, but whatever you need, for you want us to pray with you and pray for you. I want to be able to, like Paul, say, you know, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. I'm trying to get my crown, y'all. How many of y'all want your crown?
Amen.
Oh, Paul said, run this race, man. Let's go run it. We run it, but you don't run looking backward. You run looking, oh, there ain't nobody in the middle of the race. Stop. Talk about what happened at the last turn. Do they? Nobody wins a race by stopping and talking about what happened in that past turn. That past turn is what? It's behind us. And we're forgetting those things we're behind and we're pressing where? Toward the mark. If you're here today, you want to be baptized, come. If you want to come to the Lord, we need whatever your desires are for us to pray for you. Come as together we stand, sing the song.